Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
Figure out new ways as this is a new frontier. So again, thank you very much for your flexibility, Nova Church, as this is phase two and got some great feedback. And you know, I think it would be advantageous to tell each and every one of our team that's worked all very hard behind the scenes, thank you for all of your hard work. Amen. Amen. So let's get into the Word of God today. Genesis chapter 24 is where we're going to go. Genesis chapter 24 is where we're going to be in the Word of God this morning. And I am excited about what God has for us. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I want to encourage you to pull up your Bible, and I want to encourage you to take notes, either underline it, so grab a pen or something, or take notes on your smart device. In the Bible app, there's actually a place that you can take notes based on the scripture. So if you go to Genesis chapter 24 and you hit take a note, you can actually write your notes right there on that sermon. So very excited about that, but excited about what the Lord has for us today. And thank you again for tuning in. Let's dive into the Word of God. Genesis chapter 24, starting in verse 4, the Bible says, "Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife. And find a wife there for my son Isaac." In verse 5, the servant asks, "But what if I can't find a young woman who is willing to travel so far from home? Should I then take Isaac to live among your relatives in the land you come from?" Now, let me give you the background of this. This is a conversation between Abraham and his servant. And Abraham is giving a task. He's saying, you've got to secure the promise of Isaac. Go find Isaac a wife. And he says, okay. And so if this was today's day and age, he'd say, go find a wife, whether that's through some means are necessary, said, but we need to get him married. And some parents who have single young adults living at home, never mind, I'm just kidding. Okay, and so he says, go find them among your relatives in the land you came from. And Abraham in verse 6 says, "No," responded Abraham, "be careful, never take my son there. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. And he will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son." Verse 8, "And if she's unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath of mine, but under no circumstances take my son there." I want to preach to you today on this subject, forward moving faith. Forward moving faith. Amen. So again, write in the chat, write comments, write in your Bible as we get ready to dive in today. So in there, today in 2020, we find ourselves March 22nd in a very interesting time, in a very interesting season, if you will. And as we are in this interesting season, it is definitely a season of uncertainty. It is unknown. It's almost like that song that Elsa is singing in Frozen 2, where she's singing, "Into the unknown." Little did we know that into the unknown would be what we are in 2020 of here today. We are in the season. And the problem with the unknown is that you don't know. So how can you plan? How can you make decisions when you don't know? How can you think of the future when you're not even sure what's going to happen today? It's fascinating to consider when you begin to think, oh, what's going to happen in the summer? Well, I don't even know what's going to happen in the summer if I can't even figure out what's going to happen right here, right now, today. That's the problem. And the unknown is something that we are all grappling with. How do you move forward when you don't know? How do you go on when you have no idea? And this is the dynamic, when you're not even sure you know what to do. Because if you knew what to do, things would be different. Somebody say amen. It's like a few months ago. If you would have known that toilet paper would have been non-existent, you would have stocked up on toilet paper. I had told my wife a story that one time, many, many years ago, my grandma sent me to the store. She said, go to the store. And she said, buy a 16-pack of toilet paper. So I buy the toilet paper. I come home, and I said, where do you want me to put it, Grandma? She said, put it in the closet. So as I put it in the closet, I realized there's like 50 other rolls of toilet paper. And I say, Grandma, why did you have me buy toilet paper? You've got a bunch of it. She goes, well, you never know. Well, if I'd have known months ago, I probably would have prepared differently. And it's fascinating that the example of the day and age and time is toilet paper is the thing. And the only reason that it is because everybody goes, buys all the bunch of toilet paper. 2-3 weeks ago, you could have bought 3 or 4 rolls. Now, I went to Target this week, you're limited to 1 roll. Uno roll of toilet paper. Why? Because everybody's buying it up. Because they think they know, hey, it's going to be gone. So now, based on what they know, it has impacted their behavior. It has changed their action. And when you know something, it changes how you behave. When you know something's going to happen, it can cause you to transform. And we are introduced in our day, in a rapid changing time, in rapid changing culture, in ever-changing information. How is it possible to know? For we are introduced in a parallel time where Abraham, who is at a point in life where he is facing the unknown, and yet he understands he has to move forward. He is now in a place of grief. In Genesis chapter 24, we are finding that he is in a place of sorrow. His wife Sarah has died. He has buried his love of his life, and he has seen the faithfulness of God. It would be safe to say at this point that the aspiring title that Abraham is a friend of God would be very applicable. He is nearing the end of his life, and get the picture. Abraham has seen it all. He's seen the goodness of God. He's seen the faithfulness of God. He has seen, you name it, he has seen the promises of God. He has seen God in the time of famine. He has faced fear. He has watched the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And at the very same time, in a place of destruction, he's seen salvation of a nephew. I could preach there just a second. Is that there is going to be times in even destruction where God places a time of salvation. And I'm just here today to tell you that you always know that there's always a saving God, even in whatever uncertain time that there may be. And in this context, Abraham sees Sodom and Gomorrah. He sees it destroyed, and he sees the salvation of his nephew. He sees God move and is gracious. Abraham has been through this time of where he even lied. He has seen the misstep of not trusting in the promises of God and taking things into his own hands, having a child with a handmaid, and thus Ishmael is born. He is faced even in a time where he is crisis and saying, I don't know what to do. I've got inner turmoil. I've got my wife, Sarah, and this newborn promise of Isaac fighting and fussing with Hagar and Ishmael. What am I going to do? Abraham has faced it all. He's faced his faith. He has even found times when his faith had to be tested, where the very promise of God with the thing that he loved, in which Abraham places Isaac on an altar, and God provides, and God moves. And in that place, we see that God is faithful.
Amen.
And now, get the picture. Genesis chapter 24, in your Bibles, open with me. In Genesis chapter 24, you find that it starts with the very first verse. It says, now Abraham is old. Well, that's coming out of the context of he has just buried the love of his life. And now we see that Abraham is facing something new. He's facing again a familiar time of the unknown. And we see that as he's facing the unknown, he understands that the promise of God must be pursued. See, God promised Abraham that his seed would be multiplied like the sands. But how could this be when he had one son who has no wife and there are no kids? So in our options, in our text, Abraham makes the servant take an oath. He says, you've got to find a wife. And the servant asks in verse 5. Now in verse 5 in the chat, you're going to see that he says, but what if I can't find a woman who's willing to travel so far? We know the problem. The problem is, hey, I got to secure the promise of God. God promised me this, but now I'm old and I know the time is near. There's uncertainty in the future, and my promise that God has given me is reliant on something that is out of my control. Can I preach for a minute? Somebody say, preach on, Pastor. Say it in the chat. Here we go. Now watch this. How are you gonna do that? Well, he could have just waited. He could have just said, well, hopefully one day Isaac will find that lucky woman. He could have said, you know what, Isaac, why don't you go jump on insert dating website here and go find plenty of fish and go snag your woman. We got to get you hitched, boy. But no. Instead, he puts it into God. And as he puts this, he says, I've got to send my servant to go secure the promise. And he says, here's what you do. Go to the land in which I came from and find a young lady. Because he knew that not only could he just find anybody, he had to find the right person. And it had to be somebody that would help him and be a helpmate and support him and be there with him and be strength. Can I just preach for a second? That's where the value of the church is. That's where the value of all of you in our home churches are, in our Zoom, on our Facebook, on our YouTube. Hear me today, somebody. It's the value of the church is being connected to somebody that can help you and give you strength, even in a time of uncertainties. When you're pursuing the promise of God, I'm here today to tell you, you're not in this alone. I'm here today that you've got help. You've got the body of Christ. And even though the body be independently, we are not isolated from God. We are in this together, which is why we value groups, which is why we gather together, which is why we worship God. And we may be in our house right now, but we are still connected through the power and grace and faith of God. And somebody clap your hands on the Zoom chat for me. Now, so we find that it says, but what if I can't find a young woman who's willing to travel so far from? Should I then take Isaac to live among your relatives in the land you came from? Verse 6, Abraham says, no, be careful never to take my son there. Watch what the servant says. But the servant asks, but what if? He begins to introduce a logical question. That's not bad. But he's asking for the contingency plan. What if I can't find her? What if I can find a young woman that wants to be the bride and is willing to marry Isaac, but is unwilling to even leave? And Abraham responds, no, do not do that. Never take her there. He had a problem with there, but he had a problem with abandoning the promise for the practical. He had a problem. Don't neglect for the pragmatic. The God me out, who took me from there, was the one who promised. And don't go back to where he brought me out of. Hear me today. The Bible tells David encouraged himself in the Lord. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord in this day, this season, in this time. That we're not going back. I'm not going back. I can't go back. I'm going to encourage that I'm going to go forward. God is, somebody type the chat for me. Somebody type four comments for me. Today, so I'm going forward to where God, I'm going to go onward to what God has promised. I'm onward in my purpose. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord that regardless of the circumstances, I'm not going back to what God brought me out of. I'm going forward in God. And we've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. It's not just an encouragement issue, it's encouraging it in the Lord. Control. He's on our side. He's going to make the first thing on how are we going to move forward. Start to say, I'm not going back. I'm not going to quit. And you could say, Pastor, what makes you so sure? God, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7 says, if you have your Bibles, if somebody wants to type this in the chat, in the comments, somebody type it for me. Grab it on the Bible site. Type it in the chat for me. Hebrews 6:17. So when God more convincingly to the promise, watch this. When he show more convincingly promise the unchangeable character of his purpose. Can I just remind you that in everything, God's got a purpose. In everything, God's got a plan. In everything, God's got a working it out right. But in everything, he guaranteed it with by two unchangeable things. One, in which it is impossible for God. And number two, fled for refuge. Might have strong encouragement to hold fast, to hold on that is set before right now. That there is hope in the future, hope in my tomorrow.
Yeah.
That there is hope and that there is clarity that protect us even from what we do not know, even from what we cannot see, even from every possibility, even from a virus. Pandemic, even in a time of a global crisis in which none of us have, during our life, I'm here to say there's hope in the future. Amen. Come on, there's hope in your future, and that's where you can begin to take a good piece of say, my, you've set before, you've set it forward moving faith. That God, you've set it in front of me. And Abraham under, hey, something in my future, and I can't go, and you can't take Isaac back. And he decided, I'm going, commissioned to servant, and a wife to fulfill the promise of God. 10 camels. And in verses 11 through 15, Genesis chapter 24, we find that the servant goes, saying, okay, I've got this thing. How am I going to navigate? What am I going to do? See, the thing we need to move forward in faith is we need to seek. In the place of the servant, and he prayed. Very specifically, when he prays, he can praise in verse 14. He begins to pray, Acts 12. He says, oh God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast to my master Abraham. I'm standing in the spring of the water, and the daughters of the men of the city are. woman to whom I shall lay down your jar that I may drink. Let her say, I will. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. And he begins, he gets to the situation and he prays. Can I just tell you today that when you don't know what to do and you don't know how to move forward, the first thing we need to do is we need to understand I can't go back. Second thing I need to do is understand I need to see and I need to pray. Times of the unknown, we pray less, we need to pray more. The solution is more in the presence of God. I need to get more in God's domain. I need to get more in his presence for his strength. And the solution is not wait and watch Hulu. Can I get a witness somebody? Can I get my on the Zoom app? Can I get a thumbs up for my house church folks? Not wait and watch. It's not, hey, I'm gonna watch this or binge watch that. Hey, got time that I can watch more than ever before. No, the solution is to wait on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Watch what this says. See, we are down into verse 31, but watch this. He says in verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. Ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who increases strength. You want to increase strength? Guess what? It's not on what we know. It's not on what we hear. It's put in the presence of God and trust in God. And watch this. And when he does that, even you shall be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall what? Mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you need to know what to do, and you're saying, I don't know, Pastor, guess what? The Lord already saw this here. I said, hey, if you don't, when you feel weary and you feel drained and you feel empty, I'm here to tell you, guess what? You can get in the presence of God. And how do you do that? Pray. It starts with prayer. Eleazar, the servant of Abraham, let me hurry, goes forward into a place of seeking God. What does he do? He prays, and he prays specifically. It's not just about a prayer. I believe we need to pray. I believe we need to pray bold prayers. And I believe we need to pray specific prayers. But watch what the Lord does. The verse says, before he was finished speaking, which means that the Lord was already working on the promise before the prayer was even prayed. Can I get a witness, somebody? Before the prayer was prayed, he was already working it out. God was already at work. Before he arrived at the well, the Lord was working it out. I don't know what you're facing today, but he's already working it out. I don't know what you're going through, but God's already on it. I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know what your financial situation is or your emotional situation is or the mental turmoil or your physical situation. Here's what I know. God's already working it out. He's already making a way. He's already on it. Even when we don't see that he's working, he's on the scene. He's setting it up. Get the picture there. Before the man even prayed the prayer, before he even knelt down, God was already having a handmaiden start the journey. I got to go to the well. Before he even knew what to pray, while he was en route, God was already setting it up. He was already working on the answer to the problem. He had already figured out the solution, saying, hey, don't you worry. I already know what you need before you even know what you need, before you even verbalize it. And God knows. You still got to pray the prayer, but God's already got it taken care of. Somebody say amen. Give me a hand clap on my... Now, and I'm almost done. First thing we need to do is this, is we need to understand we can't go back. Second thing we need to do is we need to pray. Third thing we need to do to have forward moving faith is we need to serve. Now, that may sound counterintuitive, Pastor. Don't you know that I'm supposed to shelter in place? Pastor, don't you know that I am supposed to abide by social distancing? Pastor, what are you talking about? You want me to serve? Well, little did Eleazar know that he was an integral part of the future. And that he was serving, and he meets someone with a serving heart. He prays, and Rebecca is watering. And little does she know that her offer to serve was the beginning of her future. Little does she know that when she says a simple sentence, she sends a simple request. Little did she understand the spirituality and the amount of faith that was about to be released into her life. Little did she realize when she said, oh, would you like a drink of water? Oh, and by the way, that I may water your camels. Not just a few camels. Yeah. The Bible says there's 10 camels. Camels that had traveled a long way. And do you know, here's your fun fact of the day, hashtag fun fact from Pastor. Do you know that each camel can drink up to 25 gallons of water? That's crazy. And here we have a servant who is literally saying, not only will I provide and help you, but can I help your camels? Can I help you with no promise of return, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing what she's going to get, but with a pure heart, I am reminded of the words of Jesus when he said, he that is greatest among you shall be called your servant. In this time, let me encourage you that this is a time to serve. To not just serve strangers, but start by serving even the people you live with. Serve your family. Be a servant unto them. And not just serve them, but I would encourage you to take a time to serve other people, to send a text message to somebody, to write an email, or hey, here's a novel idea, write a card. I know, you know, those little handwritten things that, like, you know, you take pen, you take paper, and you say, hello, and then you actually have to put it in the mailbox with a stamp. Believe it or not, stamps still exist. I know it's crazy. I'm just dropping truth bombs all over this place. Y'all ain't ready for me today. Coming in hot. Here's what I know, though, is it's an opportunity to serve somebody. It's an opportunity to encourage somebody. It's an opportunity to write your favorite verse and say, hey, I was thinking about you and drop this in the mail. I wonder what would happen is even in the chat right now, you could probably think to yourself, what are other ways you could serve somebody? Serve your neighbor, serve a friend, send an email, write a nice encouraging note. Hear me today, somebody. This is the greatest opportunity of the church. Jesus said, not only love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, but then he went on to say, but love your neighbor as yourself. This is the opportunity to love your neighbor as yourself. Whatever you are feeling today, I would encourage you to take that and then to say, instead of just focusing on me, focus on the Lord. And it, God, can I be a blessing to today? Who can I send to today? How can I do this today? You know, there's a great need in today. And let me encourage you, as we have an opportunity to make a difference. Our church, I'm so thankful for every single person in our church. But there are people that are hurting even in our church, that they are literally worried, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this? now, today, is the greatest day to show the love of God. Now is the greatest time to show those who are in your circle, God. In his apostle, in his epistle, chapter 4, the apostle Peter said, above all, keeping one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received, use it to serve one another as words of God's varied grace. If God's good to you, we just need to understand that it's not all about me. I know some of us all about me. I'm about to join the praise team in Digital Campus. This is my opportunity, church. You know I've been saying this. Now's my time to bust it out. I've been waiting and waiting. Can I get a witness, somebody? Pastor's about to jump on that. Oh, I almost bought a tambourine at the Guitar Center last week. Okay, nevertheless. Where was I? Oh, hot dog. As God's stewards, as good stewards of God's varied grace, if God's been good to us, if God has blessed us, we owe it unto him to serve him. And he goes on to say, for whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything, in everything, God may be glorified. To him belong glory and dominion ever and ever. Amen. And that is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4. To serve people. It's people that need help. There are people in our church who they may literally have an immune is compromised. They cannot go to the store. Let me say, now's the time to say, how can I help you? If you're in need of something, if you're in need of groceries, if you're in need of food, there's people that can help you out. If you today, so if you're saying, Pastor, I laid off, I'm here to tell you this is what the church is. The body heals the body. The body helps the body of Christ. This is where we are. We are strongest together as one. And it's when we understand a mentality. I ain't got time to preach this, so there's going to be a part two next week. I'm just telling you right now. So we're just going to drop it like this, but let me see if I can wrap this up for today. When we understand that God has called us to serve, number three comes next week, but to seek and to serve, here's what I know, is God will bless us. And in that moment, Rebecca, she steps forward. And the servant, please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? And she says to him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom he bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of straw and fodder and room to spend the night. The man bowed, worshiped the Lord, blessed the Lord, the God of my master, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. Right now, all across this place, I wonder if you would just do me a favor and you would begin to bow your head and close as we step forward into a time of prayer. And I'm going to pray in every one of our house campuses and every one of our house churches and all of those online. I wonder if you would just bow your head and join with Pastor for a second as you would begin to understand that regardless of how anxious you may be, and it is valid, and how nervous and scared you may be, and the fear of the unknown, the fear of the unseen, understanding, could I be next? Who's got it? Who doesn't? Let me say, and I pray today, that we need to begin to seek God, and He will begin to renew our strength. He will begin to replenish. He'll begin to give peace. He's going to begin to give you a peace that passes all understanding. I wonder if right now you begin to bow your head, and I wonder if you'd lift your hands right where you are. And I wonder if you begin to pray, God, help me today to seek You. I wonder if you would begin to pray, Lord, fill up my cup. I wonder if you begin to pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, help me today. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, help us, God, that we may know You. Help us, oh God, that we help us, oh God, that we may see. Help us, oh God, that we may know. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that You begin to move in us today. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that You would help us, God. Lead us to people in whom we can serve through a kind word, a nice text message, an email, a card, a direct message, God, a DM. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that You would begin to help us, oh Lord. I pray, God, that You would begin to speak to me, God, as a vessel. People, put them on my heart, that I would begin to reach out to them. Somebody that it may have been weeks or months that I ain't talked to, God, bring them to my mind and let me send a message. Bring them to my attention, God, that I can begin to say, Lord, help them today. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that You would touch us. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that You would speak to us. Heal every heart right now. God, touch every mind and give us peace, God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. You said, let this mind be in You, which is also in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, give us a mind. Give us a helmet of salvation, God. Give us, God, peace in the middle of even destruction. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would keep us and protect us and guide us and guard us. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that You would touch each and every soul today. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, You're good. You're faithful. Lord, You're merciful. God, I pray, Father, to touch our hearts, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, God. That's it. Just lift your hands and begin to worship Him and begin to thank Him. Lord, fill people with Your Spirit right now. Begin to fill people with a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost, God. That, Lord, God, I trust in You. That, God, You're working it out. Begin to just worship Him. Say, God, You're working out. Begin to verbalize. And the power was in the prayer of the person when the to pray and said, Lord, this happened. Before he got done speaking, there's a power in the spoken word of God, which is where David encouraged himself in the Lord. I wonder if right now you would begin to encourage yourself in the Lord and begin to pray the prayer of faith and begin to say, in the name of Jesus, God, help me, oh God, that I would begin. Help me, God, to have peace. Help me, God, to have an understanding. Help me, God, to know. Help me, God, to know that You reigns in the Lord of Lords, in the name of Jesus. Oh, mighty God. Oh, holy God. I pray in the name of Jesus, single person right now, begin to feel the Spirit of God right there in your living room. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Just lift your hands. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we wait on You. We trust in You. Oh, mighty God, Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we thank You, Jesus, God. God, I've been running on empty and need some strength. I wait on You today. I get in the presence of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's it. Why don't you just begin to lift Him up and worship Him? Just begin to say, God, I trust You. Jesus. Oh, God. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that you begin to feel His presence right where you are in every church. Oh, mighty God. That's it. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes. Turn off every distraction. Begin to plug in right now. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, God. And God, you're going to renew. Oh, mighty God, hallelujah, we declare it. Lord, we declare it right now. God, you're working it out. God, we're seeking you, Jesus. We trust in you, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, mighty God, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you. God, we wait on you right now, Jesus. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. Why don't you begin to pray for somebody in our group right now? If you don't know anybody, look on the chat. Begin to look on the Facebook. Begin to look on our YouTube. And I wonder if right now you would begin to find somebody and you would begin to pray for them by name. I wonder if you'd say, God, I don't know what they're going through, but God, right now, touch them in the name of Jesus, God. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you begin to touch every home right now. Just begin to call out a name you see on your screen. Just begin to intercede for one of your friends. Begin to intercede for one of the body right now. Lord, we declare it in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, I know that you're going to show your steadfast love and your faithfulness, God. God, you're faithful today. You're faithful today. In the name of Jesus, we declare it. Yes, God. Oh, yes, God. We worship you today. Thank you, Jesus. God, touch each and every heart. Touch our minds. Touch each and every one of these people. Let the Lord lead you right now, God. I thank you, God. I pray, God, that you'll help us in this time, in this season, in this place, God. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. I thank you today, Jesus. Lord, we declare it right now, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I declare it right now that you begin to move in the hearts and minds of us. Jesus' name, bring peace to our homes, God. I declare it right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God.